ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter, if you would. 1 Peter, we'll start reading there in just a few minutes. We are looking forward to the Lord's soon return when He'll make all things new. And for the believer, that's going to be a wonderful day, amen, when the Lord returns. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And it's going to be a wonderful thing when we have our new body, amen, and we're there with the Lord, and forever we'll be with the Lord. Isn't that going to be a great thing? I'm looking forward to that day. And the truth is, you know, He desires to make all things new, and He desires that we would have that even yet today. If you know Christ as your Savior, He's given you a new spirit, hasn't He? He's given you a new life, eternal life in Christ. Praise the Lord, we have a new Father. We're not of this world, but we're of our Father in heaven. And our Father, He has given us a new purpose. This world is looking and searching. People today are looking and searching for purpose. What's the point of life? Why should I, you know, what's the point? And we look all over the place. We look for in places like pleasure and self-fulfillment. We try to find purpose for this life. So many, you know, even young people especially, you know, looking for purpose, looking for their place to fit in, looking for, maybe they look for it in a spouse, or they look for it in a significant other. They look for it in a position or in a job, or they look, you know, we look all over the place. But you're not going to find purpose outside of Jesus Christ. That's the only place you're going to find what your soul is looking for. And if you know Christ as your Savior, what a wonderful thing to have purpose, amen. He sends us into this world to tell others about His love. He sends us into this world, this lost and dying world, those that are searching, and we say we have the answer. We have what you're searching for. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. It's found in His love. And inside His salvation, we find joy and we find peace and hope. What a wonderful purpose we have as children of God to let go into this world and tell people about Jesus Christ. Christ sends us into this world. You know that we have a faith that makes a difference. If you have faith in Jesus Christ this morning, has it made a difference in your life? Our faith in God makes a difference. And this world needs to know about that difference-making faith. Amen. Our faith needs to be on display so that we can make a difference through the power of God in their life. God desires to make a difference in their life. That's what our faith is about. This morning, I want us to think about the thought, having a new faith. Having a new faith. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have faith in God. Amen. But do you know what? Sometimes that faith, the Bible says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, what is He saying? Our faith is often very small, isn't it? Our faith is often very small. We serve an all-powerful God. Pastor Baker used to always say that if we have, you know, the power of God, what could the power of God not do, right? God is all-powerful. He can do anything, but it's limited. God's power is limited by our disobedience and our lack of faith. And it's true. Our lack of faith hinders the working of the power of God in our life and in the lives of others because we have such little faith. God says if we would have, you know, a greater faith, we'd be able to move mountains, right? Just the faith as small as a mustard seed. The disciples prayed rightly when they said, Lord, increase our faith. Well, we need to pray, Lord, increase our faith, that we might be able to make a difference in this world, that we might be different, amen, that we might be able to make a difference. The book of 1 Peter is written to people that are hurting, people that are struggling. The new church was on fire for God. And we know what the Bible says, how the disciples, they turned the world upside down for Christ, and people were, you know, coming to Christ and people were getting saved. It was an exciting time, wasn't it? However, it was a time of great persecution as well. It was a difficult time. And so this morning, I want us to just kind of look at the context of the book to start, so we get a little understanding. So we know who wrote the book of 1 Peter, right? Peter, okay. I thought I'd just help you out with that. So Peter, this is the apostle Peter, right? The one who, Peter often has a bit of an interesting reputation, doesn't he? We often think of Peter and we think of the one who's brash, the one who's, you know, quick to go ahead and just say whatever's on. He speaks and then thinks, right? We see that often in Scripture. He's one to just, he's a man of action, but not always, you know, should he have done that? The Scripture talks about how they looked at the disciples and said that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but one thing was certain, that they had been with Jesus, and that's what was the difference maker, amen? But, you know, he wasn't a man of education, was he? But can I say that I believe Peter was also kind of a sharp guy? I know sometimes he gets a bit of a reputation like he was just some, you know, crazy fisherman. But I think he was a sharp guy. I think that, you know, that God had given him a lot of gifts, just like he gives each of us a lot of gifts, doesn't he? And what made Peter great is that he eventually, through the work of God in his life, through the teaching of Jesus Christ, he yielded his gifts to God. Amen. He was a great leader, wasn't he? He was a passionate leader. Every time you see through Scripture, Jesus called, I just read this in my devotions, Jesus went through and he called the disciples, right? And he called them and so on. And when Jesus was there, you know, they called him master. He was the leader of the group, right? He was always teaching. He was their rabbi, and he was the one that was teaching them about, you know, the things of God. But when Jesus was absent, who was leading? Nope. Jesus is gone. Where Peter said, I'm discouraged, you know, let's go fishing. You know, they all go fishing. What, you know, Peter seemed to, in the absence of Christ, lead. He was a passionate leader. He was a great leader. I think he was a gifted speaker. God used his voice. Not always was he speaking the way, you know, not always thinking like he should. It seemed at the start he would say things and do things. But I believe that God, you know, God used him in a great way. Just like he can use anyone in a great way. Not everyone has the same gifts. Not everyone has the same abilities, but God used Peter in a great way. And so Peter, the writer of this book, is writing in a time of difficulty, isn't he? A time of great persecution to a people that have been persecuted and are hurting. We have to understand the time period a little bit. This is a time when, they believe it's around 60 AD, when Nero is emperor. And Nero was the emperor that, you know, brought intense persecution to the people of God, to the Christians. Nero was kind of a crazy guy, okay? He killed his mother. He killed his first wife and most likely killed his second wife. And he's crazy. He is a cruel man. He is noted for, historians believe that he set, you know, a lot of Rome on fire. Why? Because he wanted to build, you know, some new buildings and things. He wanted to build. He was a builder, but the Senate wouldn't allow him to build. And so he said, okay, well, I'll just destroy what's here and then they'll let me build. But of course, he didn't want to take the blame for the fire. And so what he does is he finds this group of people that were hated anyways. This group that, you know, not many people liked or was kind of a thorn in people's side and, you know, society's side. And so he decided to blame the burning of Rome on Christians. And so adding fuel to the flame, adding fuel to, you know, people's hatred at the time or dislike or discomfort with the followers of Jesus Christ, the disciples of Jesus Christ. And so this is the people that, you know, are being persecuted. I mean, I don't want to really describe the terrible things that he did within the Colosseums and how, you know, he would torture in disgusting ways many Christians. This is the church. This is the group of people that the book of 1 Peter, the letter of 1 Peter is written to. Hurting Christians. Christians that are feeling like, you know, their faith is being tested. Feeling like, you know, is it really worth it? You know, do you ever ask yourself those questions sometimes? Maybe I should just give up. Their faith is being tested and tried. So Peter is writing to him. Writing to these churches, writing to these people. And he deals with some difficult subjects. He deals with some weighty subjects, but they need it. And I think the Lord would have... the truth is, we live in a difficult day. We live you could say in a lot of ways, we live in the greatest day to ever live in some ways. We have comfort everywhere. There's money, it seems like, everywhere in Canada, at least, and in North America, at least, and in many places around the world. This is, in many ways, a great day to live. But as in all ages, and it seems especially in this age, a godless age, especially in our quote-unquote Christian country, we have forgotten God. And though we don't face persecution, we definitely see the pressure and the devil at work in a great way in our society and in our country and in our lives. Folks, the devil is working against us. And so we must, like we talked about in previous weeks, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to ask the Lord to strengthen our faith. For that's the only way we're going to be able to do his will. The Bible tells us, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. I don't know about you, but I want to please God, our Father. I don't know about you, but I don't want to give up. Sometimes I feel like it, but I don't want to. I got to have a greater faith in him. God, stop looking around at this world. And you know what? We go through difficulties. There are difficulties. There's times of testing. There's times of trial. That's Peter's writing to us tonight, or this morning as well, isn't he? But will we have and continue to maintain our faith in God? Will our faith thrive and grow because of the trial of our faith? Take your Bibles, 1 Peter, if you would. 1 Peter, the Bible tells us there in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I want us to see this morning that word, strangers. Amen? He says, I'm writing to you strangers here in these places. He's writing to those that live in a location. We're born into this world in this location, but not citizens, not constituents of this world any longer. He says, you're strangers. You're sojourners. You're like we said, you're just passing through. What a wonderful thing if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that this world is not our home. We're here for a short period of time. That's what he's reminding. He says, you're just strangers. Remember that this isn't where you're dwelling for forever. This isn't everything. You are struggling today. You're having difficulty. You're living in a difficult time. But you're strangers. Remember that. This is going to happen for a while. God may not take you out of the trial. He may not take you out of the difficulty or the storm that you're going through today. But just remember that this isn't your dwelling place. Remember that after this, God's going to make all things new. Remember that after this, we're going to have a new body. Remember that after this, you know, those physical struggles will be done with. Amen. Remember that after this, the one we do not see, we will see. Amen. The one we place our faith in, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a wonderful day will be to see him face to face. But through the eyes of faith, we see him today. Through the eyes of faith, we trust in him today. And he says, remember, you're just strangers here. I want to encourage you, you're just strangers. This world is not your home. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 tells us that we're to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, right? We're not to be of this world. We're in this world, but we're not to be of this world. We're to be different, aren't we? Why? Because this isn't our home. We're not citizens of this country. This is our location where we are right now. But this is not our destination, is it? Keep looking to Jesus. Keep looking to the fact that he saved your soul. Keep trusting you're strangers. John chapter 17, verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We use that to say we're not to be in this world, but you know, we're in this world, but we're not to be of this world. We're in this world, but we need to be different. Why? Why are we different? Because our faith in God. And so because we have faith in God, because we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are not to be like this world. We are not to be worldly. We are not to take part in the wicked things that are happening around us. And that's going to, because we are different, we're going to act and live differently, aren't we? Child of God, you will not and should not fit into this world. You're just a stranger here. You're just a stranger. Sometimes, you know, people will, do you ever feel weird in this world, right? And sometimes, you know, people will call you weird. And I think, well, we are strange, aren't we? That's strange, right? We're to be strange. Different. I don't think we need to be weird. I don't think we need to try to be weird. But folks, if we're a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are going to be strange to a sin-cursed world. We are going to be very different than one who is continuing in their sin, heading towards a Christless eternity. A stranger. He says, just remember, you're a stranger. Just remember that this is, yes, you're going through intense persecution. You're going through a very difficult time. But you're just a stranger. It's only for a short period. Folks, if we're a stranger in this world, we're going to have different values, aren't we? We're going to have different morals. We're going to be a different spouse, a different husband. We're going to be a different wife. We're going to be a different father. We're going to be a different mother. We're going to be a different son. We're going to be a different daughter. We're going to be different because we're just a stranger. We are not of this world system. We're not of the one who rules and reigns here on this earth. The spirit, the wicked one. Spiritual wickedness, the Bible says, in high places. The devil who goes about seeking whom he may devour. We're not of the father of the devil, amen? We've been saved. We're not of this world anymore. We're not of this world system. We're strangers. We know Christ. We know the truth. And that's why Jesus Christ came to Nicodemus and said, I know you're religious. I know that you're trying to be good, but you must be born again. We must be born into the family of God. That's what makes us different. Because it's him that makes us alive spiritually and gives us that new spirit, amen? It's him that gives us that new life in Christ, eternal life. It's him that makes us one that it was truthfully trying to do good, but everything that we would do was like filthy rags. Just we would try to do good, but it ended up being sin anyways. Sinful. The Bible tells us, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Folks, we were just sinners. Well, what a wonderful thing when Jesus Christ saved you. Remember that day? Christian, do you know Christ? Christian, if you're a child of God this morning, you've been saved. You've been forgiven. We're going to look at this tonight. Come back. You're holy. Later on in 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks about, be ye holy, for I am holy. You've been set apart. Sanctify. Why? Because God has a great purpose for you. Different. You know, when people are mean to you at work, when people talk bad to you at work, when people ridicule you at work, you're going to respond, and you should respond, differently. Why? Because you're a child of God. Because we're different. And so, we should stand out. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. Because we're strangers. And he has a great purpose for us. He wants us to stand out. Why? So that people may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. We're not of this earth. We're not of, you know, the sinful nature anymore. We've been saved. We're of our Father. We've been born again by the power of Jesus Christ. So as you go through these hardships, as you go through these difficulties we face in this world, we're going to go through them differently, aren't we? Because we're strangers. Because we have faith in God. I like the poem that talks about footprints. You know, I say, how come, you know, it seems like I was all alone. Look, there's only one set of footprints. And God says, that's because you couldn't go on any longer. You were in the hardest times of my life. There's only one set of footprints. It's because I carried you. And isn't that the truth? The Bible, God says, cast your care upon me. He wants us to cast our cares on him. Why? He cares for us. And when we can't go on any longer, he carries us through. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's that good shepherd, amen, from Psalms 23. That when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is so good to his children, isn't he? He makes us different. We should be different. We're strangers. And yes, we go through difficulties. Life is difficult, isn't it? You know, I like the what people say. You know, if I would have known that being a grandpa was so good, you know, I would have skipped being a grandpa or skipped being a dad and went right straight to being a grandpa, right? They say that, you know, skip being a parent and just go right to grandparents. It's the best part, right? You often have, you know, you maybe remember this when you maybe a teenager or whatever, you have dreams about what your life could be, you know, as you're an adult and what you're going to do. But the more, you know, you go through life, you kind of just wish you just skip life and just go right to heaven. Amen. In some ways. Let's just get to the good part. Amen. But folks, God has a purpose for us here today, doesn't he? And God is, we have to go through the difficulty. They're facing terrible difficulties. But he says, just remember you're a stranger. This is not the end. Yes, we have to go through this. Yes, God is leading and God has a purpose. And yet we see all the goodness of God along the road. But remember, you're just a stranger. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And you know what we need? A greater faith in God. A greater faith in what God is desiring to do, even in the midst of the storm. God is working. God is working on you. We see that here in our text. We're going to read in a moment how the trying of our faith, God is working on you that you might be able to perform his purpose in a greater way. He's working on you that you might be able to be a greater witness, that you might be able to be a person of greater faith. Looking to Jesus, keeping our eyes on him, we can have faith in God. And that faith in God will transform us But we first must go through much pressure. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7, it says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." God wants us to have a new faith this morning, and God wants us to have a tested faith. A tested faith that as it goes through pressure, it will come forth as gold. A tested faith that is tried and true and genuine and real. I like how Matthew puts it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you." Blessed. You're blessed, amen. "When men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Amen. It says you're going to go through difficulty. You're going to go through trial. You're going to go through hardship. But you're blessed. Rejoice. Be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. "For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Peter is writing and he says, you're going to go through, you know, heavy. He says, "Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold," he says, "wherein ye greatly rejoice," at the beginning. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice." You can have great rejoicing. Why? Because you're going through trial and temptation. How many have been rejoicing in their trial? How many have been rejoicing in, you know, the time of testing? It's difficult. It's painful. It hurts. But God says, and Peter is saying to those that are being under intense persecution, he says, you can have some great joy. Why? Because God's working in your life. And as God works in your life, he's going to make you that pressure as it's being placed upon you, just like gold has to go through the hot furnace. If you are tested, a faith that is tested and tried will come forth as gold. It'll be the real thing. Be a genuine faith. Well, we need to pray that God would give us a real faith. A tested faith, a new faith, if you will. Not faith that is you know, flighty. Not faith that, you know, comes and goes easily. But faith that sticks out no matter what. No matter what, I'm a stranger. No matter what, I'm walking through these difficulties. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow, but God is with me. I'm keeping my eyes on him. I'm casting all my cares. I know he cares for me. I know it feels like I'm all alone, but I have someone I can confide in. I have someone I can talk to. I have someone who I can rely upon. It's Jesus Christ. Rejoice. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. It doesn't feel good to go through pain. It doesn't feel good to go through hurt. It doesn't, you know, it's not a pleasant experience, but he says, rejoice. Why? Greater things are yet to come. One day God is going to make all things new. And he's starting the process for the child of God right now. He's working on your heart. He's working on your life because he has a great purpose for us yet as we remain here on this earth. It's impossible to become a grandparent before you're a parent, right? It just can't happen. Folks, heaven won't be as glorious as we desire it to be unless we live this life for Christ the way we should. We want to go to heaven. We want to get rewards, don't we? I want God to say, well done, thou good. I want to be a good servant of God. The reason that, you know, God has done so much for us. He saved our souls. All that he has done for us, and we can't, all that we're coming up to Easter. We're coming up to Resurrection Sunday. We're coming up and we're going to be thinking about again the death, burial, and all that Christ went through for us, right? I think we can go through a little bit for him. He allows it. God allows it. Why? He's testing us. He's trying us. That our faith may come forth as gold. That we might be better prepared to serve him. That we might be better prepared to encourage someone else who later on goes through the same thing. He's trying our faith. He's testing it. A faith that is tested. But it's tested by trial. A genuine faith. It's tested by trial. Now, if the Christians that Peter is writing to are hurting, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. He says, why does he say rejoice? You're going through a trial. But Peter writes, rejoice, because though you face these trials today, there's a wonderful joy ahead, isn't there? There's wonderful things to come. We're facing difficulty. We're facing pain. But rejoice. Rejoice in the fact that you know Christ. Rejoice in the fact that God is working. Rejoice in the fact that God desires to use you. Rejoice in what's to come. Rejoice in that we're strangers here, that this is not our home. That God has great things for us in store. What a wonderful thing as we look forward to heaven, as God's desiring to make all things new. Craig Rochelle says this, our faith can't be based on what we see, but instead on who God is. And that's so true. Often we're looking around at this world and we're seeing so much, aren't we? It's so easy to become discouraged. We're seeing our circumstances. We just got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How does Jesus Christ have joy before going through all the pain, all the suffering, and the worst of it, our own, as he takes our sin upon himself? Folks, this world, we may have to go through some pain, we may have to go through some suffering, but just like Jesus Christ, we can have joy. That's what Peter says. That's what Matthew says. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. So just keep pressing on. Keep serving him. Joy. But folks, the sad reality is not everyone has a genuine faith. The sad reality is not everyone is going to come forth as gold. Can I briefly tell you why? Because some people have an inherited faith. It's not their own faith. I grew up in a pastor's home. I understand this. It's easy to rely on the faith of your father or your parent. Maybe there's young people today here that, you have an inherited faith. This faith is, it's just something that, I grew up going to church. I always went to church. I always did my best. I always tried to be a good person. I went to church and I was always involved in religious activities. But folks, an inherited faith. A faith that is just, so I must be a Christian because my parents were Christians. I was baptized as a baby. I was baptized as a child. I was told that I'm a Christian. I'm not, a Muslim. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not anything. I'm a Christian. My parents go to church, or I go to church the odd time. I'm glad you're here. But folks, an inherited faith won't get you to heaven. An inherited faith won't get you through the struggles and trials that you're facing today with Jesus Christ at your side. He's desiring that you would come to him. He wants to come and help you. He wants to come and help you with the burdens that you're facing. But you're not one of his children. An inherited faith is not your own faith. The only way to be able to get through the struggles and to have joy and to have peace and to experience the love of God, the way God desires that you would experience it, is if it's your own faith. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm a pastor, and you know, people know it, and so they'll say, would you pray for, you know, my mom, or would you pray for so-and-so? And I will, and I'll even pray with them. But they come to me because they believe I have a connection to God, right? But little do they can have a relationship with God just the same. You don't need to go to a priest to talk to God. You don't need to go to a pastor to talk to God. You can come. God desires that you would come to him yourself in faith, believing, trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection. Trusting in, we call, the good news, the gospel. He died to save your soul. He died so that he could be your friend. He died so that his righteousness could be placed on your account, and that he could come into your life and help you. Come into your life and save your soul. People are searching for so many things because life is difficult. Life is difficult for all. Life is difficult for the lost. Life is difficult for the Christian. I'm not saying that you get saved and life is going to all of a sudden be sunshine and roses. It's not the truth. We get sick just the same. Our kids get sick just the same. Our loved ones pass away just the same. And we have to go through hurt, and we have to go through trial. We go through these difficulties the same. But the amazing thing is we don't have to go through them alone when we have a relationship with God. And that's what's missing in the life of most. It's not an inherited faith, is it? It's not something that you just, you know, get because your parents were Christian and so you must too be a Christian. But that's not the way it works. So many have an inherited faith. So many have a shallow faith, don't they? Christ talked about this in Matthew 13. He talked about the sower. Remember he tells the parable about the sower who goes and takes seeds and he sows in the field. And he sows on different types of ground. On some ground, it's rocky, isn't it? Some ground, it's thorny. Some ground is good. But on that rocky ground and on that thorny ground, a plant does come up. The seed does, you know, take root a little bit, but it's a shallow root. And when the sun comes out, it withers and burns away. Why? Because it's not rooted. It's not grounded. They believe about God. They've heard about God. They maybe even go to church and they're involved in religious activities and try to be a good person. And that's great, but it's shallow. They're not rooted in the vine, amen. They're not rooted in Jesus Christ. They don't have a personal relationship with God. And so when the sun comes out, it withers away. And the seed falls on the thorny ground, and a plant comes up too. But it doesn't get much sun, and it's small, and it's weak. There's not a lot of room for its roots. And the Bible says that thorns choke it out. If you have a shallow faith, the hardships of life, the difficulties of life, the trials of life will come. And instead of, you know, coming forth as gold, instead of coming through the pressure, you'll be gone. You'll be choked out. Only a genuine faith. Only the seed that's planted in that soil that's good and ready will grow up. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready to be saved? Are you ready to have a genuine faith? A shallow faith won't do it. An inherited faith won't do it. You have to have a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. You have to actually be looking to Jesus. You have to be trusting in him. You have to be placing your faith on him and him alone. Not your parents' works, not your own works. You know, it's a real faith. It's a real belief, but it's not in the right thing. It's not trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone. So it's burnt up. It's choked out. And when the difficulties come, I'm glad you're here, but you'll be gone. You won't be able to go through it. I don't know how the world goes through, you know, the trials of this life without God. So thankful for that friend that sticks close. We sorrow, don't we? But the Bible says we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope. We have hope in God. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We need to just keep relying on Him. We need to keep looking to Him. Pray for Pastor Henry, if you would. He's our staff missionary there in Ojinaga, Mexico. Talking about difficulty, talking about pressure, talking about persecution. Aren't you glad that we don't live in the time that 1 Peter is writing about? Amen. I'm glad that, well, we do. In other places of the world, there are people under persecution. But we're so blessed we are not under that persecution. But notice the church was thriving then, and there's other places in the world where there's great persecution. The church is thriving. We're comfortable. Not a lot of pressure at times. But anyways, I was talking with Pastor Henry. There's a lady that's going to the church or was attending the church for quite a while. I think almost 2 years. But there was family pressure. And no longer, you know, that eventually after time, she's no longer going to the church. And that's sad. That's discouraging, right? Pressure. Persecution. It's there all the time, isn't it? But folks, if we have a genuine faith in God, if we are, if our faith isn't a fickle thing, but no matter what, no matter what comes, we're just going to keep looking to Jesus Christ. We're going to keep trusting in Him. And the Bible says we'll come forth as gold. It's not an inherited faith. It's not a shallow faith. It's not a conditional faith. So many have a conditional faith, don't they? Well, if... some pastors are preaching a conditional faith. The prosperity gospel. If you come to Christ and do what's right, if you'll just trust in Him, if you'll just pray, then God will have to bless you. And, you know, people, I like times of blessing, don't you? I like times of victory, but not all times are times of victory and times of blessing. If you follow God, it's not going to always be, you know, sunshine and roses. It's not always going to be prosperity. That's just not the way it is. And so many have a conditional faith. As long as God is blessing, I'm going to church. As long as God is blessing, I'm doing what's right. As long as God is blessing, I have faith in Him. But folks, a conditional faith is not a genuine faith. God says, I'm going to take you through times of testing. There's going to be through trials, but through that, I'm going to work. Trying of your faith. It's a precious thing. It's a wonderful thing. We don't like it, but God is working. He says, you can have joy in that fact. You can have joy in the fact that you're a stranger here on this earth and that I have great things for you to come. It's only going to be for a season. But is it a genuine faith? You're not going to have joy. You're not going to have help. You're not going to be able to cast your... If it's not a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. True faith in Christ brings joy. Look at verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing... ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The end of our faith, amen, is the salvation of your soul. And notice there, it says, you're believing though you haven't seen Him. You're having faith, you're trusting in Him, even though you haven't. That's what faith is. Faith is not seeing and looking at our surroundings. Faith is looking beyond them to see Jesus Christ, to see God at work. And if we will have faith in God, believing, the end of our faith will be the salvation of our soul. And notice, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a wonderful, the end of our faith is a wonderful thing. Brings about the salvation of our souls. brings about joy and peace and hope and love into our life. But then as we walk with God, as we continue to serve Him, God continues to give us joy. God continues to give us this joy unspeakable. It's a joy that cannot be understood. It's even hard to describe. Why would this person who's going through manifold, difficult, heaviness of trial and temptation, why would they have joy? It doesn't make any sense. So glad for the peace that passeth all understanding. Joy. Why? Because we have a genuine faith in God. Let me ask you this morning, are you searching? Are you searching? Are you searching for joy? Are you searching for purpose? Are you searching for hope? Are you searching for love? Do you have a genuine faith in God? Only a genuine faith in Jesus Christ will save your soul. Only that the end of a genuine faith is the salvation of our soul. The Bible says we can't get saved by our own works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us that. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only way to have faith, a genuine faith, is as we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's what John 3:16 is telling us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, it's through faith, a genuine faith in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's through the love of Christ. It's through the love of God. Faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The good news of the gospel. When you believe on Jesus Christ and open the door of your life, the Bible says He'll come in. Has Christ come into your life? Have you opened the door? God desires to come in. God desires to save your soul. God desires to forgive you. God desires to make all things new in your life, but you have to allow Him by faith, trusting in Him. For it's by His grace, it's by His goodness that we're saved, because we've placed our faith in Him. Because we believe that if we will open our heart to Christ, if we will accept His forgiveness, if we will accept His love, that He will save us. He will forgive us. Genuine faith, a new faith, a faith that is in the saving power of God. Folks, God desires to make all things new in your life. God desires to give you joy unspeakable. But we have to have faith in Him. Let's pray.